The blessing of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious grace freely bestowed in the Son, and the power of the promised Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, powerful and compassionate, you shepherd your people, faithfully feeding and protecting us. Heal each of us. And make us a whole people, that we may embody the justice and peace of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.
I'm reading from 2 Samuel. Now when David the king was settled in his house, the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him. The king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be the prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went. I have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, so that you may live in their own place and be disturbed no more, and evildoers shall afflict them no more, as formerly from the time that I appoint judges over my people Israel. I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares that you, the Lord, will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 89 responsively. I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil. I have anointed him.
My hand will hold his fast, and my arm will make him strong.
No enemy shall deceive him, nor shall the wicked bring him down.
I will crush his foes before him and strike down those who hate him.
My faithfulness and steadfast love are with him, and he shall be victorious through my name.
I will set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers.
I will say to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation.
I will make him my firstborn and higher than the kings of the earth.
I will keep my love for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him.
I will establish his line forever, and his throne as the days of heaven.
If his children forsake my teaching and do not walk according to my judgments,
if they break my statutes and do not keep my
I will punish their transgressions with the rod and their iniquities with the lash.
But I will not take my love from him, nor let my faithfulness prove false.
I will not break my covenant, nor change what has gone out of my lips.
Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David.
His line shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me.
It shall stand forevermore, like the moon, divided by the witness of the sky.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Second reading from Ephesians. Remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision, by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with his commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in one place of two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death the hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access to one Spirit, to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints, and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The apostles gathered around Jesus, and he told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard that he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, They laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord. There's a social justice initiative in the ELCA, in the church, that is called Peace Without, or Peace Not Walls. And this initiative wants to educate about the separation wall that is being constructed in the Middle East, dividing Palestine from Israel. Now, we in San Diego are much more familiar with a different separation wall that is on our border between Mexico and the United States. We're more familiar with that wall that's being constructed. There's another wall that some of you are probably more familiar with as well, and that's the Berlin Wall, that wall that this fall we celebrate 20 years that wall has been torn down. That wall that separated east from west in Germany. There's a famous wall that's mentioned in the Bible, the Wall of Jericho. Joshua marched the people around the city, around that wall, shouting and blowing trumpets, and the wall fell. I think you know the song, Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho, Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. The walls came tumbling down. It's not that simple. It's not that simple for us to take down the walls. It seems that there are fences and walls, dividing lines, barriers, inclusion, exclusion, everywhere we look. And it seems to me that all of these walls, these dividing lines, these separation barriers are really connected to one another. It's really like one big wall, one big fence connecting the power and control that affects each one of us. St. Paul, in that letter that we read to the Ephesians, Paul calls this wall the hostility, the dividing wall of hostility. It's a wall that divides, that separates, that fragments, that isolates. It's a wall that keeps people apart. It makes us suspicious of who's ever on the other side of the wall. It makes us fearful of people who are on the other side of the wall. It kills friendship. It feeds prejudice. It leads to hatred and to violence. I don't remember how long the Berlin Wall was up. I think maybe 20 years or 30 years, 50 years? I thought it was in the 60s that it was built. 40 years. Yeah, over 100 people died at that wall, at the site, right there at the wall. I don't know how many people we could say have died at the wall at this, at our border. How many people have died now in Israel and Palestine at the separation wall? Walls create violence and hatred. I watched a news program a couple days ago. I was watching the news, and there was a reporter standing in front of a Hollywood nightclub, and there was a wall. It was a red velvet rope, and this along this rope there were people standing, and the guy at the door was separating. He was making this wall a division. He was choosing the young and the beautiful, the rich and the famous, who could come on this side, and everyone he deemed to be otherwise, I guess you and I, would be on this side of the fence, this side of the wall, that side of the barrier. I was listening to some of the hearings, the confirmation hearings of Judge Sotomayor And I heard a lot of references to walls, ethnicity, gender, education, experience. It seems to me that it's almost part of our nature to draw lines, to build walls, to categorize people, to isolate those who are like us and those who are not like us. The Jerusalem wall in the temple, there was walls that separated male from female. There was a wall that separated the Gentile believers from the Jews. And written on that wall in the court of the Gentiles is a warning. And the warning is something like this: you Gentiles dare not come any further. If you do, the punishment, which was death or something, is on your head. If you choose to cross this barrier, you will be punished, and it's your fault. It's your fault. There was so much animosity, so much hatred between the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews were so careful of drawing that line that there would be no crossing over. There were laws. If a Jewish person touched a Gentile, the Jewish person would be considered ceremonially unclean. There were marriage laws. A Jewish person marrying a Gentile, it was against the law, but if it would ever happen, the Jewish family would have a funeral for their Jewish child that had now gone from them, no longer alive to this family. So much was the line, the wall between Jew and Gentile. One Bible commentator said, "No iron curtain, no color bar, no national distinction or frontier of today is more absolute than the cleavage between Jew and Gentile was in antiquity." Now, we're talking first century. We're talking, you know, a long time ago, although it still continues today, not in the same way. That is what Paul was writing about, that wall of hostility, that strength of animosity against another group. And he says that this is what Jesus came to do, to tear down that wall of hostility. Listen again. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one. Think about how these people were hearing this. Think about how they're hearing this when they've got laws and rules and killing on people on the other side. Jesus has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall. That is the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself a new humanity in place of the two, making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. These are powerful words. These words put an end to all prejudice and hatred, to all dividing lines between us. There is no other way that you can interpret these words. Jesus has broken down the dividing walls between us and made us all one in him. We who have been welcomed into this family of God, we who are indeed brothers and sisters in this body of Christ, cannot have walls of division of prejudice, of hatred. There is no wiggle room in this scripture. We cannot have prejudice, hatred, walls of division between us. So how do we go about putting to death that hostility that seems to be even part of our human nature? How can we tear down the walls that divide and separate us from one another? How do we do that? Statistics show that church membership has been on a decline since about the 1960s. And there's a lot of studies being done, have been done and are currently being done, of why this is. And why are some churches able to maintain and even gain in vitality while other churches are fading away? Why is it that church membership, church attendance is on a decline? Well, all of these studies, you can guess that there is not a single answer. There isn't any churchvitality.com that you can go to and find out the answer to what do we need to do or what could be done. But there is one essential, one core quality to vitality that is mentioned in every study, and that is welcome and hospitality. That's what Paul is talking about in this letter. The one way to tear down the walls that divide us, the walls that separate, is to truly become the household of God. A vital church is a church that is a place of welcome, a place where all people can come together, into one body to worship that one God. Sometimes we do this really well. Sometimes not so much. The early church did a really good job of this. The first century church, everyone was welcome. Everyone was invited and welcomed to the table. They respected one another. They took care of the strangers and the poor and the refugees, and they kept getting together week after week after week. And people noticed. Other people noticed these Christians and wondered why there seemed to be no dividing walls, no hostility. The Roman emperor even said, "These Christians, they even take care of our people. What is it about them?" And that curiosity, because of the generosity and the welcome and the caring for others who didn't belong, in a sense, to their group, that curiosity brought others into the communion. People noticed, why is there no hostility? Why is there no dividing line? And they wanted to be a part of that group. That is the only way to be a vital church, a vital community that is alive, that has any hope of life. The only way is to be a place of welcome, a place of compassion and concern and care for others. And that concern and care cannot stop at the parameters of our church property. It cannot stop with those that we deem to be able to come on this side of the red velvet rope, those that we think are worthy of our care and our concern. It has to include everyone. This is the call to hospitality, to tearing down the walls of hostility. In Jesus Christ, you and I have been called to such a responsible job. We are called to be a part of this community, to show others the abundance of God, of God's love, of the abundance in creation. In Christ, there can be no strangers. In Christ, there can be no aliens, no dividing walls. We are all citizens of the household of God. It's impossible to draw lines. It's impossible to build walls to exclude or to refuse the help for any of God's children. It's not enough to simply say, well, we're a friendly church. That's the first step to say it. It's not enough to have greeters at the door of our church. That's the first step. That's the beginning. But we have to break down any walls that would separate us. That's the first step. But the second step is to take that broken down wall and build a bridge. Reach out to connect. It's one thing to say, I have no hostility. But it's another thing to actually act on that and to reach out to those who would be on the other side of that wall. When I was in seminary in a preaching class, one of my classmates gave a sermon that I will never forget. I can't remember one thing he said. I can't remember the scripture that he was referring to. But he had this wonderful object lesson. He started out the sermon, and here he had built a wall of bricks, a brick wall. And as he talked, he started taking these bricks off. I don't remember if this was the text he was using or some other text, but like I said, I don't remember one thing he said, but I just remember what he was doing. And he took these bricks off as he spoke, and it was became clear as he was doing that he was building something else. And he ended his sermon sitting on a bridge that he had built from those bricks. Now, I wanted to do that today, but I couldn't. Obviously, I have no ability in that area at all. I couldn't figure out how to do it. I tried with cardboard boxes and Velcro so that I could hook it together, but it looked pretty wobbly, and I thought, well, that would fall flat in more ways than one. But that's what we need to do. We need to take down the wall that would separate us from one another, from those who are different from us, those that we have deemed other than us, and not only just take down the wall, but build a bridge so that it makes it easier for those people to come to us and for us to go to them, to make that relationship possible. It can be very simple. It can be as simple as learning the name of someone in this room right now. Introduce yourself to someone during coffee hour. I'm going to give you the pickup line. Hi, I recognize you. We've been coming to the same church for a long time, but I don't think we've ever spoken. How long have you been coming to St. Peter's? Now that's a good pickup line. To say to someone that you know because you see their face sitting in this church maybe for 3 or 4 weeks, or maybe for 3 or 4 years, or for however long you've been coming here, but you just don't know their name because you've never spoken to them. Or, we can put it on the other person. They've never spoken to you. So introduce yourself to someone else. We're going to do that during Sign of Peace. I think we could all do this. You can shake the hand of someone that you have not, that you don't know their name. I think that everybody can do that. Shake the hand of someone whose name you don't know during the sign of peace and ask them their name. Now, we have name tags, and there's no one in this building wearing a name tag today. They're all back there. So all of those names belong to all of you. So we'll do a, we should do a, what would that be called? Like, the children play this game, put all their shoes into one pile, and then you have to go and dig around and find your own shoes. Well, let's just see if we can find ourselves. Find ourselves in the midst of this and speak to someone that you don't know. That's very simple. That's breaking down a wall. It's breaking down an isolation. It's breaking down a some kind of barrier between us, those we know and those we don't know. So that can be simple. It can be harder. Breaking down those walls is difficult too. It can be extending yourself financially, letting that, giving that donation to World Hunger or to the orphanage in Takati. It can be giving your time, volunteering. This is something we hold very personal, very private, very close, our time. It's very important to us what we do with our time. And breaking down that wall that separates us from one another, we can do something hard. Offer time. Teach Vacation Bible School. Offer to visit a neighbor. Come to Takati to work on an orphanage for a day, to build a girls' dormitory. This orphanage has always had just boys until this year. They got 7 girls. The government just gave them these girls, and they go, we don't have any place to put them. They put them in the teacher's little shed, little shack, and so they're building a girls' dormitory this summer. People near us, right near us, sitting in the same pew with us, need our love and friendship. People across the border, people across the world. We are called to take down the walls, but not only to take down the walls, we are called to build the bridges. May God bless your construction work this week. Amen.